Good morning. Welcome to EMP. Let's open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis 22. Genesis 22 from the NASB. Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham," and he said, "Here I am." He said, "Take now your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over there and you will worship and return to you." Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." And he said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." So the two of them walked on together. Then they came to the place of which God had told them, and Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide," as it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it will be provided." Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, indeed I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice." Let's stop there and let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you for just your story and history of what you've done with your people. And Lord, we just ask God that we could learn from that. And Father, we want to be more like you, and we want to learn obedience today. God, I pray that you teach us your ways and show us your path. We thank you for this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, well-known story about Abraham and sacrificing his son Isaac, and there's just a couple principles that I want to just draw out from it that about worship, and this is a replication of worship in the Old Testament, where they would sacrifice an animal for the atonement of their sins, and so God tells Abraham that he wants to go and sacrifice, and in this case, it's his son, and so they built an altar, and Abraham binds him up and puts him on the altar, ready to sacrifice, as was their normal sort of practice. But this was unique in the sense that now this is his only son, which obviously is representative or a replica of what God the Father would eventually do that Abraham didn't do. And so there's a lot of parallels, a lot of symbolism, things like that. But ultimately, this is sort of the act of worship that Abraham was giving. And if you notice that this act of worship involves obedience. But before we talk about that, the first thing that happens in verses 1 and 2 is the revelation from the Lord. And so worship begins with revelation from God. It begins with the word of the Lord, and for us as modern-day believers, the word of the Lord is this revelation of who he is, the gospel, the good news, that Jesus Christ is the only way to God. And this revelation, worship starts with that. We cannot worship without that revelation. We can come to church and just go through the motions, but unless there's a revelation of the Word of God, that's not genuine worship. So we can be here without receiving the revelation, going through the motions, you know, sitting down, standing up, singing songs, etc., etc. But it wouldn't be true worship unless we have a revelation from the Lord of who He is. And so God gives Abraham a revelation. He's speaking to him, and worship is not based on my likes and dislikes of the style or denomination. It's not based on personal preferences. It's based on the revelation of God Himself. Next, in verse 2, worship always comes with a cost. When we worship, there's always a cost. And as a worshiper, our sacrifice matters to God. And back in Genesis chapter 4, in the story of Cain and Abel, we know that Cain brought an offering, but Abel brought in the New King James Version, it says, the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. So literally translated, Abel brought the fattest of the firstlings of his flock. And so the reason why I use the New King James Version is the alliteration of the fattest of the firstlings of his flock. And in other words, Abel gave God his best. For us, when we sow, of course, you know, many of us are not farmers, but anything we invest in life, you know, usually the first things that come up, we're very proud of, and it's very precious, and you know, we've worked so hard, we've sown into that, either literally or figuratively, and usually the first fruits that come out, we're just very proud of and very eager, and you know, we just want to hold on to it and just, you know, either show it off, you know, take a picture, put it on Facebook, whatever, you know, but we're very proud and it's precious. It's not easy to give that away to people. It's easier to keep that for yourself and just wait for a subsequent fruit or blessing to come and give that. But Abel gave the fattest and the of the firstlings of his flock and gave God the best, and God gave God what was precious, the most precious of that flock. And so now the writer of Hebrews says that by faith Abel offered a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain. If you look at Jesus and his teachings, and he required that the disciples had to sort of leave and sacrifice their livelihoods and families and relationships to follow him. So the life of a worshiper comes with a cost. There are many examples in the New Testament where Jesus marvels at the widow who gives the copper coin and just the sacrifice that she gave. And now that story is known throughout all posterity. And David says that I shall not offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God, which costs me nothing, in 2 Samuel. And so this burnt offering that God is sort of symbolizing or instructing Abraham to do with his son Isaac, this burnt offering needs to be wholly consumed, fully consumed. And it was the highest gift to God, representing the total dedication of the offering of body, soul, spirit, and mind to God. And so this burnt offering signified a total and complete sacrifice. And so obviously it's a complete sacrifice when we're sacrificing our child, but symbolically with the animal, it's the total and complete sacrifice that we're offering to God. And so even though God commanded Abraham to sacrifice Isaac as an offering of the Lord, there's the real point of that was Abraham's sacrifice of himself. And what did he have to sacrifice? Well, obviously he had to sacrifice his will and his ways. He had to sacrifice time and talents, relationship, reputation. He just had to sacrifice everything for the Lord and put God first. And obviously you know a theme throughout Scripture that as we respond to the revelation of God of what He's done through the blood of Jesus Christ, there's a theme throughout Scripture of sacrificing everything, putting God first, and worshiping Him instead of our own self-centeredness and our own selfishness. And here is a visual representation of the same thing that Abraham has to do. And so now as we continue to walk our daily life with Christ, we have to surrender daily and say, God, I am a worshiper, and I worship you first, and I put everything aside, and I want to live in obedience. The next characteristic of a worshiper is obedience, and which requires obedience to God's word despite circumstances, despite feelings, despite consequences. It means holding on to God's truth no matter how heavy the burden is or how dark the day. This obedience, first of all, requires a speedy response. You'll notice that in verse 3, Abraham rose early in the morning. So he got the word. He didn't really consider or pray about it. He just obeyed immediately and rose early in the morning to handle it. So Abraham didn't waste any time, and he went without delay. As we mentioned before, delayed obedience really isn't obedience. As we talk to our children and we ask them to do something, we command them to do something, we expect immediate obedience. That's obedience. If they show any sign of delay, if they show any sign of like, oh, I'll do it later, or if they kind of stall for time, automatically, as a parent, we know that that's disobedience. When they stall for time or they delay it. And same way as believers, when God gives us the revelation of the word, Abraham didn't delay or stall. He went immediately and he obeyed. And that's a great example of what obedience looks like. But also you notice that Abraham made preparations. He received the word from the Lord. He obeyed immediately. He got his servants together. He cut the wood for the burnt offering. He saddled his donkey. He took his son and he set out. And he made the appropriate preparations. And there's this aspect of preparations that is involved when we worship. And so what does that mean for us as believers in modern day? Is maybe the preparation is waking up a little bit earlier, or maybe the preparation as Abraham did. Maybe the preparation is sort of clearing your mind and your heart of just the busyness that's cluttering your head, or maybe it's spending time in prayer and just preparing your hearts, or whatever it is. Maybe it's preparing your offering ahead of time instead of, you know, at the last minute, or forgetting and saying, I'll do it next week, and delaying those things. There's preparation involved when it comes to worship. And finally, there's this proclamation that happens in verses 11 to 14. In 14, Abraham called the name, the place, the Lord will provide. As said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it will be provided. And so you've heard the revelation, you've done the preparation, you moved in obedience, and now there's this proclamation. There's something about proclamation, proclaiming the truth of God, that the Lord will provide. The Lord is my Savior. The Lord is my provider. The Lord is my healer. The Lord is my whatever it is, my banner. The Lord is my salvation, whatever it is. There's this proclamation that happens. And by doing so, he's proclaiming the nature of God, and he's declaring who God is and what God does. And this is what praise and worship is, that there's always an element of proclamation. And so in our modern-day worship songs and our modern-day singing, if our songs focus upon us and talk about like our needs and you know how God is all those things, it's missing this aspect of proclamation, that praising and proclaiming what the Lord has done. You look out throughout history in the Old Testament as the Israelites, as God delivered them, they're always proclaiming the praises of God and things like that. And so as we worship, we need to be reminded that there's this aspect of proclaiming his character and his nature and the things that God is able to do. And so therefore, the result of that in verse 11 and 12 is this restoration. Angel of the Lord in verse 11 called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Just an aside in verse 12, the angel of the Lord and God stops Abraham from this. And he says, Do nothing, for I now know that you fear God. And this phrase, fearing God, is throughout Scripture. It's a huge theme in Scripture about fearing God. And there's, you know, controversy in what does it mean to fear God. Many leaders will water it down and say, oh, fearing God means respecting God. You know, surely it doesn't mean to be afraid of God, because, that doesn't make sense with our theology. Why would we be afraid of our loving God? But here, the word fear is actually means terror, and fear and just and things like that. And it seems contradictory because you know the angel of the Lord comes to many of God's servants and says, "Do not be afraid, do not fear. Perfect love casts out fear." But then, why would there be this theme of fearing God? Well, the angel of the Lord begins to restore this concept because of begins to restore Isaac because of this concept of fearing God. I think a better translation is, and this is just my personal translation, is that to fear God means to take God seriously. And when you take God seriously, there is this element of God could destroy you, Isaac could be killed, I could kill my son. And things like that, and that's something to be fearful about and afraid about. But I think the angel of the Lord, if I were to translate it myself, it says, "Do not do anything to him, for I now know that you take God seriously, that you fear God, and since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And so now there's this restoration of the son, where Abraham, I think, generally thought that. And this is personal commentary. I think he generally thought that he was going to put the knife in his son, and that his son was either going to die or. But I think Abraham literally thought that was going to happen because he was afraid of the consequences of not doing that. And that's a bold faith that Abraham had, that he had. He was more afraid of the consequences of not obeying God. I think for us believers, we are more afraid of the opposite. We would rather disobey God because we're afraid of the consequences. But Abraham is afraid of the consequences of not obeying God. Do you see the difference? Right? And so maybe there's a money situation, you know, whether it be tithing or giving. We're more afraid of the consequences of giving, of obeying God, than the consequences of not obeying God. Just want to sort of continue on that as believers, and that's sort of something that I feel like the Holy Spirit is giving us revelation, that we're more afraid of the consequences of obeying God than the consequences of not obeying God. And here Abraham was fearing God. I hope that's clear. I know it's early in the morning, and I'm even cloudy in my mind also, but that's pretty profound. And that needs to be changed according to the example of Abraham, because what happens is that when we obey God, there is a restoration that is involved. And so Abraham was willing to do that. And then finally, in verse 15 and 18, the Lord confirms his covenant with Abraham. He confirms it again. And he says, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, I will greatly bless you. I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens and the sand which is on the seashore, and your seed which shall possess the gates of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice." So there's this confirmation of the covenant that God will continue to bless his life. And so these are some of the aspects of worship that God sets up based on the Old Testament structure of worship, of sacrifice. And so Abraham goes all the way through, even to the point where it doesn't make sense with his own son. And what God does is he begins to restore and he begins to confirm the covenant that he made with Abraham and eventually his people, that I will bless you. From the beginning I said that, and he goes through this test and Abraham passes and he confirms this covenant again, that I will bless you and I will make a great nation out of you, that your descendants, though you cannot see it, but now I believe Abraham is beginning to see with faith through this testing that this covenant will come to pass. Through this testing of sacrificing his one and only son, as he hears the words of the Lord, he's beginning to understand Abraham in his heart. Wow, that beginning promise of I will bless you, even though I'm 90 years old, have no children, I'm going to, you know, have a nation through me. He goes through this of sacrificing his one and only son, and God restores that. And now I believe that this is where Abraham's faith increases, and he sees, yes, even though I only have one son, even though this makes absolutely no sense, I have absolute confidence and faith that when God says, and he reconfirms this covenant, that a great nation is going to be birthed through me, it's going to happen. Even I'm confident now, and I know how the story ends. You know, it's like, wow. And so I want to encourage us this morning as I ask Jeff to come up, is that part of worship are these stages, the stages of the revelation and just obedience and faith and preparation and sacrifice. And then what happens is that God begins to provide and God begins to reconfirm. You hold on to some of those promises that God originally made to you, that I'm going to bless you. And you're like, well, but I don't have a job. I don't know how you're going to bless me. I can't bless anybody. And so sometimes we take matters into our own hands, and instead of being obedient to the word of the Lord, we're more afraid of the consequences of being obedient to that. You know, maybe God sends you to Africa or sends you somewhere, and you're like, oh man, if I obey, then what's going to happen to my family? And you're more worried about the consequences instead of the consequences of not going or not being obedient. And so some things to meditate on this morning. And so let's bow our heads and let's be still for a moment and just may the Lord just speak to you. May the Lord begin to speak to all of us this morning. My goal and desire is that we would have a better understanding of what it means to worship through the example of Abraham. And obviously this passage is very deep and preached on quite often. But I think the one concept that I want us to meditate on is this idea of fearing God and being more concerned of the consequences of not obeying God than the consequences of obeying God. Because as Abraham passed this test, I believe he began to experience that, wow, that impossible thing of making a nation through me, it actually could happen, and it actually will happen. And faith begins to rise up. Many of us are going through some tests and difficulties and a test of obedience. I want to encourage us to just say yes, to take God seriously, and allow him to provide the lamb for you. Instead of having to bring it, may the Lord provide the lamb for you in our obedience. Let's sing this together.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me. And I'm desperate for you. Desperate for you. And I'm lost without you. I'm lost without you. Desperate for you.
So let's worship through our intercession and by the sacrifices of our praises and our prayers of intercession for our loved ones in our community. And so let's pray for those who are sick with cancer and let's lift them up to the Lord. And as we lift up the sacrifice on the altar, let's lift our loved ones and our friends in prayer. And so let's pray for healing for those who are going through chemo and are struck with cancer and looking for a transplant. So let's pray for them right now. Pray for salvation and healing for those with cancer. Let's ask the Lord to take the veil off their eyes, and let's pray for miracles. Let's pray for just incredible glory of God to be made known in their lives. And so let's pray for healing and salvation. pray for other illnesses and sicknesses that our family of God is going through in our community. So let's lift them up in prayer for healing over them, and pray for grace and mercy. And let's lift them up right now. Looking for jobs, and ask the Lord to open up doors, and let's ask for grace for those struggling finding work. And so let's pray that God would come and intervene quickly. So let's pray for them. Pray for our mission focus today, and let's lift up Cambodia. Let's pray for Grace and Ashley, who's doing some incredible work, but let's ask for protection from just the political situation, and also just the nature of the work that they do with the girls. So let's ask the Lord for strength and encouragement. Let's pray for Pastor O, just for the work that he's doing all over Cambodia, for Pastor Tang, New Life Church, which we serve this summer and have a relationship with. So let's ask the Lord to bless our servants that are there, and let's lift up the nation of Cambodia. Pray for the board of directors, and let's ask the Lord to give them unity and sound mind, and they would be filled with wisdom and love, and let's ask the Lord to bless them and bless their families. So let's lift up the board right now. For our men's and women's ministries, and ask the Lord to give them direction and wisdom and leadership, and let's begin to pray for them and lift them up. Continue to pray for SB 2.0 for just a new space as we are growing, especially in the kids ministry, the kids just need more space. And so let's pray that God would open our eyes to see where 2.0 will be and how that would happen. Let's pray for a donor that has been prophesied that God is prepared to help fund this building. And so let's lift up SP 2.0. Let's pray for our house churches that are meeting today, and let's ask the Lord to bless them and that they would continue to grow together as they serve God and be more like Christ in their fellowships. And so let's lift up our house churches today. Father, we thank you for just your word. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your revelation. And Father, we just ask for your blessing that as we go forth, we just want to honor you with our words, with our deeds, with our lives. And God, may you be honored and glorified. So we bless your name, and we thank you for this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a wonderful day. I encourage you to stay and seek the Lord today, and may He bless you this day and for the rest of the week. We'll see you tomorrow.